Welcome to a DerivSource podcast. I'm Julia Schieffer, Editor-in-Chief of DerivSource.com. Today I'm speaking with Chris Zingo, EVP and Head of Global Sales at Calypso Technology. And today we're talking about why seamless integration between the front, middle, and back office is so crucial for regulatory compliance and long-term efficiency in this challenging and very ever-changing OTC derivatives marketplace. Now, specifically, we're going to be discussing how regulatory requirements under both Dodd-Frank and MiCA are really demanding the alignment between the front to back office operations, and more importantly, how financial institutions are making these changes to establish this high level of integration and what benefits they expect to achieve through this. Now, Chris, I'd like you to start really by giving us an overview of the drivers behind this trend and how you see it evolving.
Surely. Thank you, Julia. Obviously, the drivers, and everybody's talking about this, are really the regulatory catalysts that have really driven market structural changes that are affecting the industry. Primary regulation that's on the forefront of most is Dodd-Frank and Basel III. The ultimate intent of this legislation is to reduce the systemic credit risk in the marketplace, as well as ensure institutions have sufficient liquidity to fund their obligations. Right. Now, on the back of that, it's created a lot of change that the market has to adjust to. So particularly the concept of, you mentioned front to back. If you look at the changes that are just impacting the front office, they're pretty dramatic. You know, historically, the front office, pricing was done in isolation. So the price of an interest rate swap was the present value of the discounted future cash flows, typically used funded at LIBOR, so using a LIBOR-based curve. At that time, the market typically implied that the dealers funded at LIBOR flat. Now, if you look at the changes associated with regulation, that's no longer the case. So to effectively price instruments, particularly in the OTC market, you've seen a shift from the traditional OTC to more of a cleared versus non-cleared. So the OTC market is changing. And on the cleared side, the pricing mechanism is typically OIS, but then if you look at the impact of margin and the margin requirements and the differences between margin across the multiple CCPs, now you have the concept of CCP-specific pricing. Right? So it's not just OIS discounting, but you have to take into effect the cost of the collateral associated with the margin, and that margin does differ across the various CCPs. If you look at the bilateral side, the non-cleared side, there are price variations within that, really driven by the nature of the CSAs, credit support annex. So the bilateral now could be fully collateralized, which has a certain risk profile and is priced accordingly. It could be partially collateralized, with various MTAs or thresholds, defining how the exposures are going to be covered, or it could be non-collateralized. And depending on the nature of the CSA, the pricing and the method used to price is going to be very different. And then on top of that, the charges associated with the customer credit, the charges associated with the liquidity risk associated with the transaction, and the charges associated with the cost of funding that transaction are now being applied at the business unit level. So if you kind of take a step back and if you look at the various degrees of pricing the same instrument, those changes are dramatic. So the implication from a technology standpoint is that the front office needs to be exposed to certain elements that historically front office systems don't support. They're not native in front office systems. So now, in order for the front office to effectively price an instrument, they need to not only understand how to price it, but they need to be exposed to, in real time, the margin requirement associated with this trade. They need to understand the nature of the CSA so that they can choose the appropriate funding curve to price the transaction. They need to be able to calculate in real time the credit value adjustment associated with that trade. And they need to understand what the cost of funding is, typically transferred in the concept of FTP, fund transfer pricing, and liquidity risk. So all of those elements need to be exposed to them. They also need to ensure that the counterparty that they're dealing with has the appropriate collateral to cover the transaction. and they need to have access to that in real time. So the traditional systems that supported front, mid, to back processing capability historically have not supported these new requirements. So the traditional mechanism of front, mid, to back is shifting more to, from back to front. You know, from the market maker, who's the sole point of price discovery, distributing it out to the marketplace, really to the organization, understanding the economic value of a transaction and how that economic value is changing as new transactions come in, and really publishing the required information back to front to the market-making operation and out to the marketplace. And again, that involves being able to expose certain elements required to now price and manage risk that historically these systems did not have to. So there's significant required investment required to support some of these
dynamics. And drilling down into the investment and the effort required to really integrate the front, middle, and back office, can you give us some examples, some practical examples of how firms are executing this?
Well, if automation front to back has always been an issue, right? And firms have various degrees of automation depending on their business and the asset classes they need to support. But I think the market has been tackling this in a modular fashion. They've been looking at, and I think I haven't seen any consistency in the way the market's been attacking it. It's really, the combination of strategically what investment is required not only to comply but optimize the way they manage their business, but also what's practical. And what's practical is really dependent on how the organization's structured and the various systems that they have in place. So we've seen more of a modular approach where firms have been looking at, okay, what is the impact of the adjustments I need to make in the front office? And, what changes do I have to make in the way I manage credit risk, and particularly how I calculate CVA? So I've been looking at that as a module and the adjustments I need to make there in the front office. What adjustments do I need to make in my infrastructure to be able to calculate a margin, both for non-cleared and cleared transactions across various CCPs? And they're kind of looking at margin as a component. What adjustments do I need to make to the way I manage collateral and the systems that I use and how I expose the right information across the organization, both the front office going back to operations and executive management team? So we've seen a modular approach to this in parallel, but we haven't really seen a pattern on how the market is tackling it. And again, it seems to depend on practically what they're able to achieve in the various time frames required.
Now, you mentioned collateral management, and obviously this is a big changing area or operational process with the introduction of CCP clearing coming down the pipe with both Dodd-Frank and EMIR. Can you explain to me a little bit about how the convergence or the alignment between the front and back office is really going to better support collateral management processes going forward?
Mm-hmm. Well, collateral, has always been the principal risk mitigation tool associated with over-the-counter transaction risk. And if you look at the trend in the use of collateral and the number of transactions that are now fully collateralized or partially collateralized, that trend has been exponentially increasing over the last 7 years, ahead of regulation, because essentially collateral works as a risk mitigation tool. That being said, if you look at the new regulation, if you look at the dynamic of, transactions now being cleared through a CCP, and you look at the implications of the requirements of collateral going forward, the projections are that it's going to increase. If you look at just the impact on the requirement for new collateral associated with cleared transaction, the market's projecting that by the end of 2013, the market will require an additional $2 trillion of collateral to cover the exposures just associated with cleared transactions. Now, assuming the trends toward clearing continues, by 2019, the projection is that 80% of the market, OTC market, will be cleared, requiring $6 trillion of additional collateral. So what's happening is the requirement for collateral is going up, right? The obligations are going up, yet the eligibility of collateral is narrowing a bit because the requirements that a CCP would impose in terms of what's eligible and what's not eligible are much narrower than traditional bilateral agreement between two banks. Right? So you've got the increased of the obligation going up, you have the eligibility of collateral being squeezed. On top of that, you have a liquidity issue, because as more high-quality collateral is being held in margin accounts, that's obviously going to impact the liquidity of those underlying bonds or instruments used as collateral. So now you have a liquidity issue, which is introducing another form of potential systemic risk, right? Because the principal requirement for eligibility and collateral is liquidity. Is there sufficient liquidity in the event that I have to go to the market, source these bonds to cover my liabilities as I'm incurring losses? Right? So you have this issue. Now, how is the market contending with it? Well, they're contending with it in a couple different ways. First, you know, the CCPs are exploring changes in their risk management policies to, you know, widen the net of eligible collateral. Right? And, you know, that's a fine line, because, you know, how far down do you go without compromising your risk management, you know, policies? The other element is, you know, there's the concept of collateral transformation. So you have a lot of clearing brokers or FCMs or service providers looking for ways to support collateral transformation services, so they can extend their credit to their customer and take lower quality collateral and transform it to the grade of collateral required to cover the risk associated with a CCP, you know, cleared transaction. And obviously, there's money to be made in those types of services. So that's one way the market's contending with it. The other way is, you know, traditional risk mitigant of portfolio netting. You know, if I can net my exposures, then I lower my overall risk profile, obviously lowering my overall margin requirement. That's one element as well. And the third is the concept of cross-margining. You know, can I integrate my, you know, over-the-counter transactions, whether they're cleared or non-cleared, with, you know, futures exposures that I have to take the benefit of cross-margining, again, lowering my overall risk profile, so then lowering the overall collateral that I have to post. Right? So all of these things are being looked at. And a lot of providers in the market, like the clearing brokers, like the asset servicers or custodians, or third-party technology providers, are looking for ways to support these dynamics. So on the one hand, for example, you have the CCPs who can offer the market the benefits of cross-margining, because obviously they trade futures contracts as well as clearing bilateral. Can they help their customers who are executing through their exchange benefit from the concept of cross-margining? On the other hand, you have the FCMs that are saying, you know, I have broader visibility of my customers' portfolios. I can offer them the opportunity of, you know, netting, lowering their overall risk exposure, lowering the overall collateral that they have. So you see the FCMs looking to step up and looking for ways to provide these services to their clients in a way to capture more market share and mind space within their customers.
Now, you've mentioned this already in terms of liquidity. Now, liquidity management is obviously a very important function and process going forward. Just briefly, can you tell me a little bit about maybe where the opportunity would be in this operational integration when it applies to liquidity management, improving that function perhaps within institutions?
Certainly. If you look at, you know, the pendulum between investing for strategic business purposes and investing for regulatory compliance, you'll notice that much of the investment, much of the push is driven by regulation, i.e. regulatory compliance. But if you look at, you know, the nature of regulation, regulation in itself is portfolio invariant, meaning it's distributed to the masses, one size fits all. Yet investments required for strategic business development is really a function of the individual institution and their business model, their business strategy, the markets that they operate, right? So, you know, the opportunity and challenge is, how do I invest strategically to grow my business, taking into consideration the constraints posed by regulation, right? Because regulation is simply a series of constraints around optimizing for business growth, and how do I do that? And the opportunity is, if I can leverage the requirements and that's regulation is defining. And if I can use that as a way today to optimize some business functions that's going to give me a competitive advantage, I have the opportunity to compete more effectively and achieve my objectives. If you notice, you know, historically the top financial institutions have always invested well ahead of the regulatory curve. But if you see, and that investment ahead of the regulatory curve has led to innovation that has allowed them to differentiate their capabilities today. You know, if you go back 10, 15 years ago, in terms of the risk management processes and platforms that have been in place, the way they manage market and credit risk, and other capabilities. The Tier 1 institutions are typically the standard on you know, what technology investment should evolve to. Now, for the first time in 60 years, even the Tier 1 institutions are lagging behind the curve a bit in terms of regulatory compliance. So that means that there's essentially a leveling of the playing field on the participants in the market today. And if you look at the concept of liquidity, if you look at the concept of collateral management, and if you look at what's required to optimize the business strategy, you know, no longer are these functions segregated. You know, it's all integrated into the concept of business optimization. Because at the end of the day, you have to look at, you have to have a holistic view of your inventory, your assets, your liabilities, and you have to understand all of your obligations, and you have to understand all possible ways you can cover those obligations effectively. And what are those obligations? They boil down to four core things, right? Liquidity, right? I've got to ensure I have available liquidity in the event of certain defaults. I've got to cover my obligations, right? Obligations based on the funding I'm using across various sources. So, you know, if I use central bank funding and they require certain collateral to support that, if I'm doing series of repo transactions, whether I'm taking advantage of available inventory and repoing them out for a fee, or whether I'm covering an obligation associated with a repo, and the various types of contracts. Exposure that I have. It could be security finance repo or a general CSA covers that I have. So if I look at that in one view, there's an opportunity for those who are able to have that holistic view and optimize the way they cover their liquid asset buffer for liquidity purposes, optimize the way they're funding various business units to potentially reduce their overall cost of funding, optimize the way they cover their obligations to lower their overall cost of collateral. So you see a convergence of all these functions because at the end of the day, the requirement is around business optimization. And institutions that can lower their overall cost of funding, optimize their use of balance sheet given constraints posed by Basel III, they can differentiate and they can improve their financial metrics like return on equity and just general profitability.
Now, you've mentioned both the drivers and the opportunities, which I think are very clear here. But my final question to you, Chris, is really where do you see this trend going, and will it continue in the next year despite the high level of market activity on the regulatory front?
Well, yeah, obviously, I think the trend will continue because there's no choice. The market is moving in that direction, and then regulation is mandating that certain things are in place across a certain timeline. So there's a very clear roadmap going out to 2019 and what the institutions have to do. I think the opportunity is how can they utilize those requirements to start investing strategically, given the constraints of regulation, to optimize the way they pursue their business objectives. And in doing that, the ones that innovate, the ones that are able to do things more effectively, are going to see results. They'll have better financial performance, and they'll be able to service their customers more effectively than the laggards.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris, for explaining this trend to us today. And again, to our listeners, we've been speaking to Chris Zingo from Calypso Technology. Please stay tuned for more OTC derivatives insight in upcoming DerivSource podcasts.
Thank you, Julie.